Okay. We are holding the third line of the wide lines on your Gimelam and Beis. We learned in the Mishnah about how Bishama Bisil have this machlokes about the Tzoros and actually several other things related to Chalitza and Yibum. We said that then we have Halala Oistum, Halala Maturim. We have that one set of things that throughout Shas we have, you know, 300 or so things that the ones off. Tonight only, usually we have. Oh. Generally, we do an hour, but if you need us, is it possible you can leave the key with me and I'll return at 10 in the morning? Right now, I'm already.
Why don't you come and join the Shear and you?
Okay.
You have a number?
What's the
number?
Who's
the
Salmo?
Common.
Yeah.
The one
with the
food.
That's the
Salmo
one?
Yeah, so I can speak to him.
Oh, yeah, sure.
What's the number?
347.
So, anyway, we learned about this Bishama Basilil or the Machloikasin. Now, the Gemara is going to be talking over here about a very basic concept.
Okay.
In Halacha, there's a concept we're going to be talking about called Loitis Goyidu. You're not supposed to have different groups of Jews doing different things in Halacha. So how do we have Bishama and Basilil doing different things over here? As we're one saying that she's kosher for Yidwom, the other one saying it's an Isser Erev, etc. How does all that work? Gemara starts off with Shnan Hossam. We learned in Mishnah in Megillah, the beginning of Megillah, Megillah Nikras Ba'achadasa, over Shnei Masa, over Shleisha Asa, Abbas, over Chamisha Asa, like Pachas Vala Yosa. You have 5 days when you can read the Megillah, and we learned there Be'etzim what it is you have the 14th is for the regular cities, the 15th is for the walled cities, and the 11th, 12th, and 13th we said were made for the B'nai Kfarim, for the villagers.
They come in,
and Yom HaKnis, so yeah. Yeah, the question is, Amalei Rish Lakish Lo Rav Yechanan, the Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, how could there be different days for reading the Megillah? Ikri kan loitis goydidu. We should read over here. We should apply here what the pasuk says, loitis goydidu, which means loisastu agudos agudos. It means don't make yourself into different groups who do the halacha differently. How can you have that? Some people are leaning on one day and some people are leaning on another day. You ask, what do you mean? Loitis goydidu means loisastu agudos agudos. Hi, loitis goydidu. We buy leather buffet. You need the word loitis goydidu for the word loitis goydidu has a literal meaning. It means don't wound yourself. Loitis goydidu means don't cut your flesh in mourning for a dead person. So what kind of loitasu agudas are you bringing in over here? That's what it means. You're not allowed to do that. It's something the Mepharshim say over there that the goyim used to do that, and therefore it's minhag avodah zarah. Rashi says over there bonim atem l'Hashem alekeichem, so therefore it's not appropriate. You're children of Hashem that you should be walking around with your flesh cut, etc. Whatever the exact reason is, loitis goydidu means that. Where are you getting agudas from?
Means
to cut yourself. We find by the Nevi'a Baal over there, by the showdown on Har Carmel, that when Elio starts making fun of them, you call louder, maybe your God is sleeping, maybe you went to the bathroom, whatever, you know, by goydidu kamishpatim, the prophet says, you know, they cut themselves as they used to do, hoping that that'll arouse the Rahmanas of Baal, you know. Yeah. Anyway, so that's what it means. The answer is, came loimakur loitis goydidu. In that case, the pasuk doesn't have to say tis goydidu with two tufts. It should say tig goydidu. That would mean not to cut yourself. My tis goydidu, what does it mean with the two tufts? Shmamin alahach yudasa. It comes to teach us that it means that you're not allowed to split yourselves into different groups who do the halacha differently. The question is, okay, ve'emachakulu lahach yudasa. Okay, well, maybe that's all it means. Maybe it only means that. Maybe you are allowed to cut yourself in mourning for a dead person, if that's what it means. The answer is, if it just meant don't divide yourselves into groups, don't form yourselves into groups, then the word should be loitza goydu. Alderach, like we have in the Shir Shoyim for Wednesday, your goydu al nefesh tzaddik. They gather together against the life of the tzaddik. My loitis goydu, shmami notarti. The two tufts and the two dalits teach us that there's two meanings, and it means not to cut yourself, and it also means not to divide yourself into different groups. Anyway, the point is that Rosh Lakish is asking, how you talking? You have different people learning the Megillah on different days. Isn't that loitis goydidu? Mefarshim discussed, does he mean, is he asking on the whole thing that you have five different days, or is he, or not every year they don't have five different ones, you have the Yom HaKnisah, and then you have your Dalet and you have Tesvav, or is he asking strictly only on the fact that the people of the regular cities read on the 14th and the walled cities on the 15th? Maybe he's ignoring the B'nai HaKfar, and we'll talk about soon why. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan says to him, you're asking me from that? Ad kam lo shanisa? Haven't you yet learned the Mishnah in Pesachim? Makam shenagu lasas malacha ba'av Pesachim ad chatzos oisin? In places where they have the minhag to work on Erev Pesach up till chatzos, and they're allowed to. But past chatzos, we learned they're definitely not allowed to because that's the time of the Korban Pesach. But ad chatzos, the different minhagim, makam shenagu shalo lasas ein oisin? Places where not, but not. So you see, there are different places where they have different minhagim, and there's obviously no problem of life is going to do. Amalei, so Rosh Lakish tells him, what are you talking about? I mean, halacha no isura. I'm telling you in a matter of isur. In other words, something where it's the actual black letter halacha, you have to do it that way. You have to read the Megillah in a regular city on the 14th. You have to read it in a walled city on the 15th. If you read it on the other person's day, you're not yotze.
And the minhag goes
from as opposed to working in the minhag. Amar of Shaman ba'Abba Amar Yechanan, when the pasuk says l'kayim et yimei apurim bizmanehem. And if bizmanehem, we said zmanim habitikno lahem chachamim. It means the chachamim set up many different times for reading the Megillah, different places, different times. So in that case, it's an actual matter of halacha. How could the chachamim set up l'chatchila that you have a halacha like that? You read the Megillah at different places, at different times. But after Amar Liman Haga, you're answering me that I should realize there's a Mishnah that talks about different minhagim. Minhag is different than halacha. Okay, the Gemara asks, v'hafsam labi surah havya. You're telling me by Pesach it's not a matter of isur. V'hatsnan, but we learn in a later Mishnah in that same Perek in Pesachim, Balayla, or Halayla, the night, B'zikas Chametz night, are you allowed to work? B'shamet Oisrin or B'silah Matirin. B'shamet says also B'silah says Mutter. So it's clearly a matter of Isser V'heter. It's not just a matter of Minog anymore. At least in the places where they're Noyag not to do Malacha until Chatzos, then B'shamet holds. It's actually Osir as well to not do it, to do Malacha the night before. So we see it's a matter of Isser V'heter.
We
shouldn't work on B'dikas Chametz.
No, Erev Pesach.
Oh, Erev Pesach. Well, after Chatzos. Again, everybody holds his altar before Chatzos is Minhagim. Amalei, so Rish Lakish tells him, that's not a big deal. There, I don't have such a problem with that whole Mishnah. Even you're telling me, fine, the matter of working on Erev Pesach or Erev Pesach night is a matter of Yisr V'Heter, fine, that's not such a big deal if some people are working and some people are not. Because Hashem, Haroya Ayman, Malacha Udalesle. Because when people see that you're not working, they're not going to think you hold the Halacha differently. You don't have anything to do. When it comes to Megillah, it seems to be a real question. Now, the Gemara is going to continue with the discussion now. It actually never gets back to this issue of Megillah to answer it. So Mefoshim have a bit of a time with so what Taka is the answer. Some Mefoshim just say very simple. Rabbi Yochanan Taka holds. Rabbi Yochanan totally disagrees with this drasha of Rish Lakish on Lotus Goydidu. He holds there's no issue of Lotus Goydidu as far as different factions in Halacha. We'll talk about it soon. There's a difference. There are obviously, we don't say let's just go to do across the board, right? There is room for something. That's why we have the Shana Vesilol. But yeah, but there's a lot of other answers also. One of them is that with the different days of laning for Purim, it's not the people of one place say the people of the other place are wrong and vice versa. There's different minhagim effectively, or not really minhag, the chachamim set it up to do in different places, different times, so therefore that's not considered lotus go to do.
That is a special limit, this manahim does not teach the special limit.
No, but the question is why the chachamim themselves made up such a thing, which seems to be agudis, especially according to the Rambam, the issue of agudis that Rambam writes is that it's marba machloikis, that it makes for a lot of machloikis. So it's like this, on the face of it, Rav Shlokesh is asking, if you have some people are laning on your Dalet, some on Tetzvav, or and some even earlier, then you get into, you know, people are going to disagree what it is.
It's not the people initiating it, it's the Chachamim who said on different days you have to...
But that's the question, how the Chachamim could do that. Here we're going to be talking about the Shama Vesilo, they're the Chachamim also.
But it's going to mean themselves...
No, I care. Actually, some posts can explain that on the contrary. People who are continuing following the Minhagim that they learned from their ancestors, there's no issue of Lotus Goy to do with it. No, Fakir. So the plain people is not an issue of Lotus Goy to do with it. When they're Misakin or when they Paskin for the people of their community, we should do like this or we should not do like that. For them, it's more an issue of Lotus Goy to do. When the people, generation after generation, are following a minhag, according to some of the Mefarshim, there's not an issue of Lotus Goy to doing it. And here we're talking about the Chachamim.
But the people continue minhag that was initiated by the Chachamim.
That's what we're saying. That's really up to the Chachamim to.
Okay.
To,
so yeah. My question is, when the Chachamim decided that, how can we say that he's going to do? He's going to mean themselves that if they had decided themselves to do.
No, but I mean that's what we're saying. It means that the Chachamim themselves decided that all Jewish people should be laying the Megillah at different times. Now, how could they do that? That's what we're asking. So again, so there's a lot of possibilities. Again, one possibility is it's not that one's saying you're wrong and you're rereading it on the wrong time and vice versa. It's different places, different times. It's similar to the Magen Avraham writes similarly. For example, you have places there used to be places where they keep the Tainus of Chof Sivan and say Slichus in Poland because of Zeta Sachatat. But he says if people from there come to another place, then they can be saying they're Slichus. The other people that are there are not. They don't know. They don't hold by that fast. It's not what go to do. It's not the people of Poland are not saying you're wrong for not keeping Chuppah. The people of wherever they land on saying you're wrong for keeping it. It's different places that have different minhagim. That's one possibility. Tosfos brings up the possibility that actually what it is that the Bnei Kfarim actually don't read in the big cities. They don't come into the big cities and read the Megillah. They stay in their villages and read the Megillah there. So it's less of an issue. Lo Tisgodet is when you have two groups in the same city that are doing differently. Here it's in different places. Other Mepharshim talk about the idea that maybe the Bnei Kfarim do read it in the city, but maybe they keep to themselves, like they have a special shul for themselves or something. So again, it's like a lot of different possibilities. Okay, so now the question is, you're telling me that Loitz go to do, what about the Hobbit Shama Maturin at Saras Lachim or Bissil Loitzum? We see in our Mishnah that in this case of Saras, Bet Shammai says they're mutter to do Yibum, but Tilbul says they're also. Isn't that clearly Loitz go to do? Yeah. The answer is, the Gemara says, and this is what the Gemara is going to spend the next daf or so discussing, whether the truth of it, Mi Savarath also with Shammai Kedivrehim. Do you think that really Bet Shammai actually acted according to what they said? Why also with Shammai Kedivrehim? They did not. They held la halacha that the Sara is mutter to do Yibum, but because they know they're the miut, because they know they're the minority, therefore, in practice, they followed Beis Hillel and would not do it. So it's not a gudus. Sure, everybody can have their different opinions, but when it came, halacha l'maisa, everybody followed Beis Hillel.
That time they knew the halacha was the halacha.
No, they didn't yet know that the halacha hadn't yet officially been passed in like Beis Hillel, but they knew it so far Beis Hillel was the majority. So even before the halacha was officially passed in like Beis Hillel, nevertheless, according to this way of looking at it, they still knew that the, yeah. Rabbi Yochanan said no. They did and they did, which means the Rashba says it means they themselves did and they taught other people too. So yes, Beis Shammai did actually follow their opinion in practice.
Wrong.
Of their own. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, yes. You have Beis Shammai did things one way, Beis Hillel did things the other way.
Same question.
Now we're back to, so again, that's why some of the Poshim say that Rabbi Yochanan b'chal doesn't hold as a problem of what he's going to do. But wait. Over Plugta the Rav Shmuel, this is the same machlokas Rav and Shmuel have. The Rav Amar Lo Osu Beis Shammai Kedivrehem. Rav says that Beis Shammai did not act according to their own opinion and practice. Or Shmuel Amar Osu Beosu. And Shmuel says, so again, we have the same thing that the sum of the Gemara said was like Rav, and what Rabbi Yochanan says Osu Beosu is like Shmuel. Like Mas, Amas. When are we saying that Beis Shammai acted according to their own opinion? When is this machloikas happening? Historically, what period are we talking about where we're not sure whether Beis Shammai followed their own opinion or not? Elam Akodim Baskol. We learned in Erevin that for years, for 2.5, 3.5, whatever it is, years, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were arguing on different things in Halacha. Eventually, a Baskol comes out. Halacha to Beis Hillel. Elam Duvei Lekim Chaim, but Halacha is to Beis Hillel. So if before the Baskol, my time in Demandam Alayosu, then why is the sum of the Gemara and Rav saying that they didn't do according to their opinion? Why not? The Halacha has not been passed, and yet they're entitled to follow their opinion. And if it's after the Baskol, then forget my time in demand Amma also. Then why are Rabbi Yechon and Shmuel saying that they still continue to follow their own opinion? It's very simple. You both say Makoid and Baskol, you both say Malacha Baskol. You could say either way. It could have been before or it could have been after. You both say Makoid and Baskol, or could go into Beis Hillel Ruba. The case was that Beis Hillel was the majority, which most of the time they were. We learned about the one case in Shabbos. We learned over there about the Yud Ches Davar, yeah, when they went up to the attic over there, Hanani, Bechizkiv, and Goron, and there Beis Shammai ended up being the majority, and they made the Yud Ches Zeres, but other than that, usually Beis Hillel was the majority. Lamanda Amalai also, so the opinion that says they didn't act, Beis Shammai didn't follow their own opinion in practice, Beis Hillel Ruba. Okay, because Beis Hillel is the Roiv, and then Achri Rav Lahatis. Umanda Oma Osu, the Deya that says they still follow their own opinion, they say like this, Ki as linen basa ruba, when do we follow the majority? Hecha dechi adoni ninu, when the minority and the majority are exactly on the same level, when they're all together in one basin. Ocha b'shamay mechadidi tve, but here b'shamay was sharper. The civil is the majority, but b'shamay are sharper, they're deeper in halacha. And this is part of the reason why it says that in the loss of love, the halacha will be like b'shamay. So therefore, yes, even after before the baskel, they're not sure. Should they go according? Yes, I mean, they went according to the roiv. Yes, I mean, that they said no. We're more charif, we're more mechudad, and therefore we're entitled to follow our own opinion so long as Allah hasn't been paskin otherwise.
Even though
the bishel is the majority.
Even if the
baskel. Before the baskel. Yeah.
The shopper is the one who has the halacha. Rather than, like we said previously, the rabbim.
Usually the rabbim, but here we're saying that there's a new factor to consider. Are the rabbim as knowledgeable or as expert, basically, as the ma'akim?
So we already said in all the other discussions,
that's the underlying idea. Why we have Beis Shammai versus Beis Hillel is based on this.
You mean to say that all the time Beis Hillel was sharper?
Always Beis Hillel was the majority, but Beis Shammai was sharper. So therefore, there's reason to argue that Beis Shammai should be able to follow their own opinion. They shouldn't be kafuf to Beis Hillel. They should be able to, yeah. Or another possibility is that even after the Baskel came out, maybe Beis Shammai continues to follow their opinion. Manda Amaloy also to the opinion that says they stopped following their own opinion and went over to Beis Shammai and after Baskel. So the Baskel came out, confirmed, now Lachas like Beis Hillel. The day that says that they continue to follow their own opinion goes according to Rabbi Yeshua. He says in the famous story with Tanur Shalach Noi over there, the story with Rabbi Eliezer arguing against all the other Chachamim, a Baskel comes out and says, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua stands up and says, Ein Mashkechim Baskel, we don't pay attention. So Tosfos discusses over here that there really is a little bit of a difference. The Baskel here with Beis Hillel Shammai is confirming. Given that Beis Hillel is the roiv, and we know usually achrid avim hatres, the baskel is confirming you're correct in doing that. In the case with Rabbi Eliezer, kind of the baskel is going against the accepted halacha. That's why Rabbi Yeshua stands up and says we don't pay attention to it. But still, the Gemara is assuming over here that Rabbi Yeshua holds as a blanket statement. You never, even though Rabbi Yeshua himself belonged to Beis Hillel, as a blanket statement, you never accept baskels in halacha, even when it's confirming what we already know. So yes, Beis Hillel is the majority, and the Baskel is confirming that. Nevertheless, though, Beis Shammai might be entitled to follow their own opinion. They don't have to pay attention to the Baskel. That's when the wolf started caving in, when the Amos Amayim went backwards. Yeah, that whole story, yeah. Umanda Oma Asu. So now we're back to the question. If Beis Shammai did according to their own opinion, Kodin and Tam Loitis go to do Loitasu Agudis Agudis. Don't we have the problem over here where they're making different groups who are doing the halacha differently? How could you do that? You know when you apply lotus go to do? If you have two bata dinim in one city, one based in paskins like the shamay, one like the silo, different in different cities, then it's not a problem. So yes, you could have the shamay lives in some cities, the silo lives in other cities, and therefore each one can go according to their own opinion and shalom Yisrael.
And
it's not lotus go to do. That's why Tosfos brings in over here that therefore with the Megillah, yeah, they're reading in different cities and different places, so it's not different times, so it's not an issue. Omalei Rava, so Rava asked him, what are you talking about? You're saying as though Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are in different cities. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are two bata dinim b'irachas dami. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is like two bata dinim in one city. It's not necessarily that all of Beis Shammai lived in certain cities and all of Beis Hillel lived in certain other cities. They were mixed, the Pashas. In every city, you had Beis Shammai people and you had Beis Hillel people. No. Ella Amar Rava, Ki Amrin and Lotus go to do. You know when you say Lotus go to do, could get based in Be'irachas. You have one single based in one city. Plag Mor and Kedivah Beis Shammai or Plag Mor and Kedivah Beis Hillel.
But hey, wait, 9:30 to me and first people can be cut. 9:30 every night and then first people.
If you have half the basin, one basin itself, some of the Rabbanim pass in one way, some pass in the other way, that's the problem of Lotus go to do. If you have two batid dinim in one city, even though each one passes differently, that's not a big deal.
Yes.
So each one had their own base din, effectively, yeah. Now, who is the halacha like between Abaye and Rava over here? Most of the Rishonim paskin like Rava, that it's only an issue is one base in itself that's split. The Rambam paskins like Abaye. And the Kesef Mishnah asks, why is the halacha usually like Rava against Abaye? And he says, okay, because here Abaye and Rava aren't really arguing on their own svara, they're trying to understand the svaras of the previous generations, of how Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel worked, and how Rav Yechon and Shlokish are arguing over here on Lotus Gerdudu. So maybe then you could say halacha is like Abaye.
And Abaye says again,
so Abaye says, even if you have in one city different but the dinim paskining differently, that's a problem Lotus Gerdudu. Whereas Rava says it's only if one base that is divided. But most of the poskim paskin like Rava. So there is a certain amount of application of this nowadays. So again, we already said, Mephoshim explained that it doesn't apply, and the Gemara actually said it doesn't really apply to matters of minhag. So that already takes out a lot of issues. You can have nowadays, for example, you have a shul, you know, you have different shuls in the same city. That's, you know, some daven one nusach, some daven another nusach, or even, you know, a Lubavitcher who daven nusach harish comes through a nusach Ashkenaz shul and can still daven his own nusach. It's not necessarily an issue of what he's going to do. To a large extent, it's a matter of minhag. Even when it's a matter of halacha, for example, Shara Kerlo writes, what happens, for example, we don't say b'shamru Friday night because of a hefsek between Ashkivenu and Shemin Esrei. What happens? You're in a shul where they do say it, which is most of the shuls in the world. The Shara Kerlo says, fine, you still don't have to say it because even though it's a matter of we don't say it, it's not Isser, it's not just a matter of minhag. We hold that it's actually a hefsek. It's not so obvious. You're not saying it. So therefore, it's not going to be Lotus Gerdudu. You're not causing machloikus by not saying it because it's not such an obvious thing. There are a couple of
has to be
so that's something that would be more obvious. That's what we said before, for example. You're not working. People think you don't have any work to do. Then it's not an issue. If you go to the Ovid, yeah, you have to follow the minhag of the shul, right. A couple of places in Shulchan Aruch where it does talk about this issue of Lotus Gerdudu. One of them is with Sfira, where you have, you know, we know there's a different minhagim when you're allowed to cut your hair, when you're not allowed to cut your hair during Sfira, or because we do the whole Sfira, but anyway, you have those who do the first half till Lag BaOmer, you have those who do the second half from a Shchodesh Adar, from a Shchodesh Iyar till Shloshes Magbala. So besides the fact you can't take the coolest of both, that for sure is wrong, you also, when you have different groups in the same city, then you may have an issue of Lotus Gerdudu with that. That's one. The other is another case that comes up sometimes nowadays, which we just passed Chol HaMoed. We know Chassidim don't put on tefillin Chol HaMoed. Minhag Ashkenazis you do. So if you have in one shul, some people are putting on tefillin Chol HaMoed and some are not, you may have a real issue of Lotus Gerdudu. If you happen to be that during Chol HaMoed you're in a place where they put on tefillin, you may not be able to daven in that shul. You may have to die. You may have to daven in the side room or something. Same thing.
Sometimes in the shoes, a guy comes and walks in with
film. Exceptions. It may be. One more thing that some poskim want to say. Nowadays, where it's fairly well known that there are all these different psukim and minhagim and whatnot, then there's less of an issue. If the whole issue of Lotus Gerdudu was in order that there shouldn't be machlokas, everybody knows nowadays there's different minhagim and different neschayos and whatnot.
Well, I thought years ago with people that came here, the Merchant Stroll years ago, before their smoke, said he used to keep one day. Second day up, you have to minion by your conservative Yom Tov.
That's a different matter. That's not a matter of what you're going to do so much. That's a matter of, for them, it's not Yom Tov. But, they're not allowed to do Malacha B'Fahesti. We learned in Mim Sachim besides for all this thing of what you're going to do, there is the matter of Minach HaMokim to consider as well. So there is that to consider too, yeah.
Let me ask a related question. When you have adopted a Minachad, my family was Minach Ashkenaz, can you change to Minach Chabad or Ari?
So there is a lot of discussion about that. In particular, there's a Tshuva of the Chassam Sofer that bears on this. If I remember correctly, and I may be wrong about this, he says, or at least somebody says, that you're allowed to change from Nusach Ashkenaz to Nusach Sfarad, because Nusach Sfarad is more accurate, and from either of them to Nusach Ari, because Nusach Ari is more accurate, but not vice versa. So if a person is going to change, and I've known people who grew up davening Nusach Ari and then switched over to another Nusach, then you have to ask a Shaili. You may have to be Matan Yadu.
For me, it was...
For you, it's the other way around, but yeah. All right. The Gemara says, Toshma, come, let me bring you a proof from a Mishnah. We see that different places, they can have different halachas. B'mkoymeshu Rabbi Eliezer ha'yu kursim eitzim lasis pachamim b'shabbos, lasis barzel. In Rabbi Eliezer's place, Rabbi Eliezer held, we learned this a few times already in Shabbos and Sochim and some other places, that Rabbi Eliezer holds that you're allowed to do machshirim mitzvah on Shabbos. So not only the mitzvah itself, which is the Shabbos, for example, a bris, or bringing the korban Pesach, but even the prerequisites, the things that you need in order to do it, like carrying a knife, or even in this case, making a knife. or whatever, or we learned in Pesachim about sprinkling some of the part of drum of water, etc. Yeah. So in Rabbi Eliezer's city, they used to actually on Shabbat, when they had a Shabbos bris, they would cut down trees to make charcoal on Shabbos to make lots of barzel, to make a metal utensil that they could use for the millah. Which in other places they couldn't. Yeah, so actually Tosfos says that the Miskaven, Tosfos says that they would gavka in Rabbi Eliezer's city, they would gavka bring themselves to the situation so that they would have to do this whole Chilul Shabbos for it to show how important the mitzvah of Milah is. We learned in Shabbos, actually, it was a good thing. The Gemara mentioned in Shabbos over there that one time the Romans or whoever it was made a Gzeda on Milah and they exempted that city. They didn't know they were exempting it because of this, but the Pnimi Senyanim, it was because the city, because they the mitzvah of Milah was so precious to them, so the Eibishter arranged it that even the Goyim didn't harass them about it. Yeah. Yeah. Because, that's where Rabbi Eliezer lived. In Rabbi Yosef Aglili's city, they used to eat chicken or other birds' meat with milk. Because there's a three-way machloikas in Chulin. There's a day that it's awesome in a Torah. There's a day that it's awesome in Drabbanan, that's the halacha. And then Rabbi Yosef Aglili holds it completely mutter. There's not even a Zayda Drabbanan on it. Because most of Ashim people, Chalev Imoi, don't have Chalev Eim. They don't have a mother's milk.
Really try hard
and mitzvah to keep it.
He will help you.
So what do we see? B'mkayim the implication is that in Rabbi Eliezer's city they would do this whole thing of making charcoal on Shabbos and making a metal knife, whereas in Rabbi Akiva's city they would not. Titania, because we learn that Rabbi Akiva argues with Rabbi Eliezer on this. Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says a general rule: Kol malacha she'ef shalasayis me'erev Shabbos ain doiches Shabbos. Any malacha that could have been done erev Shabbos, like making a knife, is not doiches Shabbos. So if you don't have it, if it comes out there's a Shabbos bris and you don't have a knife, push off the bris.
Wow.
Yeah. So only the bris itself is doiches Shabbos, not the prerequisites. So we see therefore that there in different places they had different halachas. Is behind my tiyukta. So what's the problem? Mekomis shani. It's true. Different places are allowed to have different halachas. The Gemara says the kari law, my kari law. Okay. Well, then what's the point even of bringing in the question? Shouldn't it be obvious that yes, different cities are allowed to paskin according to different rabbanim? Again, even according to Abaya, it's not an issue. Even according to Abaya, the problem is if you have two bata dinim in the same city. If it's a different city, even Abaya doesn't have a problem with it. So of course, in Rabbi Eliezer's city, they can be doing one way, and in Rabbi Akiva's city, they can be doing the other way. What's the question?
You have two bezels in one city.
That's what we said. Abaya says it's a problem, and Rava says it's not. Rava says it's only a problem if the one base in itself is split. Some of them pass in one way, and some of them pass in the other way. The answer is Sakhadai the Hamina. Okay, but we might have thought to say, Mishum Chumra the Shabbos, because of the seriousness of Hilchas Shabbos, we might think that in that, the Chachamim want to make every place like one place. We don't want to have Mela when it comes, for example, to reading the Megillah, let's say, or whatever. Fine, you know, you can have different places have different times for reading it. Even Sarei Pecholav, let's say, because of at worst it's the Dabbana, according to the Halacha. But here, it's an Issur Shabbos. You might think the seriousness of Issur Shabbos, you don't want people thinking they're going to come to one place and seeing that they're breaking Shabbos to make a Milah knife and another place they're not. They're going to think, oh, you're allowed to break Shabbos. They're not going to realize that there's different deis on it. Kamash Malon, that's the Chiddush, that it doesn't matter. Even Shabbos, you're allowed to have, they pass in differently in different places. Toshma, come on, bring another proof. When Rabbi Bo visited the city of Rabbi Shurban Levi, have a metaltel shraga. If it was Shabbos, he would move a lamp. We learned, we're not one of this, that's most obviously, but we learned in Shabbos that there's machloikas whether if the lamp went out on Shabbos. Are you allowed to move it?
We had an oil lamp.
What? An oil lamp, yeah. So an oil lamp, the flame went out. We had a machloikas. It's based on the shittas of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon over there, whether the sitta thing is muktzah. Whether you can say that this keli is muktzah.
We saw that in Shabbos.
We had a long discussion about it in Shabbos, yeah. So when Rabbi Bo would visit Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's city, he would move such a lamp because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi held that's allowed. But when he visited Rabbi Yechanan's city, Tveria, would have a metal shaga. He would not move a lamp. So we see that. So what do you see? You have one person who's doing the halacha differently in two different places. The question is, why my kosher? So what's the problem again? Well, I mean, if a claim is shiny, we just said different places, different halachas. Yeah. The answer is anan hochamunin. Yes, but the problem we have with this one is like this. How could he himself, he's one person. Mainly you say the B'nai Ir read on one day and the B'nai Krachim laying on a different day. Mela, the people of Rabbi Eliezer's city make a Mila knife on Shabbos and say people of Rabbi Akiva's city don't. Also, fine. How is Rabbi Bo himself changing the halacha depending where he goes? The answer is Rabbi Bo could have Yishurban Levi. Really, Rabbi Bo holds like Rabbi Yishurban Levi. It's always Mutter. The Chimikva la'asu did Rabbi Yechanan, but when he came to Rabbi Yechanan, the city, Lo'i ha'bavitalto, Mishum Kvay did Rabbi Yechanan, Pashat Fakava did Rabbi Yechanan. He's the Rav, he's the Rosh Hashiva of the city. He's not going to go against him in his city. It's not even a matter of Lo'i to do anymore. It's just a matter of respecting Minagam Makam and respecting the Morad Asra. Okay, the Gemara asked about Yikashama. Okay, but he has a servant with him. This servant, sometimes Rabbi Bo's servant, sometimes he sees that he sees in Rabbi Shurban Levi's city after Rabbi Bo moves a lamp, he's going to think you're allowed to do it even in Rabbi Yechanan's city. He's not going to realize that Rabbi Bo is not doing it over there. But the answer is the Mojah, the Shammah, very simple. Rabbi Bo tells the Shammah, she should know, different places, different Rabbonim will pass differently, and I'm going to conduct myself in each place according to how they hold. Toshma, come, let's bring a proof from our own Mishnah. We said, even though that we have the case where Beth Shammai says that Beth Hillel says she's also to do Yibum, the Sora, the Sora Serva, Beth Shammai says she's Mutter. We say Beth Shammai did not hold themselves back from marrying women from Beth Hillel, but Beth Hillel from Beth Shammai, and vice versa. Now, this is going back to the discussion that we had whether osu or loy osu. We went off on a tangent a minute to discuss this whole issue of loy tiskoydu. Now we're back to the question, did Beth Shammai actually follow their own opinion and practice? So, iam if b'shlema loy osu... No, this is the question. Iam if b'shlema loy osu, if Beth Shammai did not actually follow their own opinion and practice, so in practice they conducted themselves like this, well then, obviously there's no reason for them to hold themselves back. In practice, everybody's following the same halacha. But if the Shammai actually acted according to their opinion, they said this woman is allowed to do Yibum. Am I lay nimnu? Then why are they not holding themselves back? On the face of it, for Bissillo, it's a chiyuv koras. So, this time, so we can understand why Beth Shammai will not have a problem marrying into Bissillo families, Dibnei Chayvi Lavet Ninu. Because, let's say, for example, according to Beth Shammai, this Tzara has a Zika. She has to either marry the Yavam, she has to either do Yibum or Chalitza. Until she does, she's utter, there's an Issu Yavam al-Ashuk. But what happens if she's over on that? It's an Issu Lav, we said yesterday. Fine, Issu Lav, it's not so terrible, so to speak. So fine, we can understand Beth Shammai is willing to marry a woman from Beth Hillel because there's no issue of Mamzerus involved. Ella Beth Hillel Beth Shammai, am I learning new? But how could Beth Hillel marry into Beth Shammai? We're talking about Chayvei Krisis. And actually, we're not even talking about the woman herself, because Tosfos points out, fine, it's not so, the case of Tzaras Erva is really not that common a case. Fine, maybe the Silo doesn't have to worry, it's going to happen that often. The Gemara says on Omid Beis Kol Yisrael anyway, that when there's a Tzaras Erva, people know about it. But fine, the question is, what about the descendants of a Tzaras Erva? The descendants of Mamzerim are also Mamzerim. So shouldn't the Silo have to be concerned that the woman they're marrying from Ishama is a Mamzerim?
So they ask them before they marry?
Ah, that's the thing, one second. We'll get to that. Wait. Amayla nimru, b'nei chayvei krisis mamzerim nimru. Anybody who's born from chayvei krisis is a mamzer. And they're descendants of mamzerim. B'chitem or kasavi b'silul dein mamzim a chayvei krisis, you're going to tell me, okay, maybe b'silul holds they're not mamzerim. It's an isu kodis. Maybe they hold that isu mamzer is not, that isu mamzer is more narrowly described. We'll have later on in the sector, we'll have several different opinions what exactly makes a child a mamzer. What kind of union that they're
agreeing? So the question: yeah. Even if you think, should you think that the children are mamzerim, but it's not a karis?
No, fakir. We're saying maybe Basilo would say you are high of karis for doing such a thing because saras erva, but the children maybe are not mamzerim. Can't be. But Rabbi Lazar says, even though Bishama and Basilo argue about these saras, Moedim, Shein Mamzer, Elohim Mishi, Sura, Yisra, Erba, Vahonish Karis. They all agree that a Mamzer is only, and the Gemara will talk about on other days, what we mean everybody agrees, but right now let's just learn this. Everybody agrees that that a Mamzer is only somebody who comes from a union where the Yisra was an Yisra Erba, where it was one of the Arayas, Vahonish Karis, and with Karis. So we see both the Shama and the Sula clearly hold that Chayve Krisis is called that is not, where the Chayve Krisis makes a Mamzer. So there's no question then, according to Basilil, this Tsaras Erva, according to Bishama, there's a mitzvah for her to do Yibum with the Yavam. According to Basilil, you got a Mamzer over here. And they're descendants of Mamzerim. You could have, but after a couple of generations, half the people could be Mamzerim. Ela Lakshmami no Loyosu. Wouldn't that prove that Bishama did not, in practice, follow their halacha? They did not do Yibum in such cases. They followed Basilil and said there's no Zika. Answer is loy la'olam asu. No, they really did do according to their opinion. But like we said yesterday, demoydu lehu parshi. They would inform Beis Hillel if there was a problem, if there was an issue that the woman herself or her descendants or whatever of a tzaras erva, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai would inform Beis Hillel. You want to make a shidduch with my daughter? I'm honored, but you should know that my daughter's elta baba was a tzaras erva. No, it's not. Mamzerus is forever. Adner gamder asiru lo yavalehem. Yeah, that's why mitzri and adoni is three. We'll get to that later in the Masechta.
So are we saying that within Beis Shammai there was a lot of mamzerim?
According to Beis Hillel, they would have been mamzerim. But according to Beis Shammai, they're kosher to do. Yeah. But that's the point. If Beis Hillel is going to come to marry into Beis Shammai, they would. If there's a problem, they would inform them.
So what happens if, according to now, what happens?
Wait, we'll get to it. Relax. The Gemara says, yeah. In fact, this is very logical to say that the only way this could have worked is if Bishama and Basil keep each other informed of the situation so they can make an informed decision. Dikotoni Sefer, because the end of our Mishnah continues, Kolataras for Tumma Shoyu Eilu Vatarin Ve'elu Matamin. We said that all the cases of Tumma Vatara, where one Bishama says it's Tahar and Basil says it's Tameh, or vice versa, Lenimnu Oisin Taras Eilu Agaba Eilu. They would not hold back from doing Taras, one relying on the other. Meaning, even though the Caliph, for example, so the case where Basilil holds that a certain Caliph is Tomei, let's say, but Shammai holds it's Tahar, Basilil would still go ahead and feel free to use Taras that were made by Shammai and not have a problem. Now, if you're going to tell us that Shammai would inform them, they would say, you should know according to your shitta, this thing is Tomei. And Mishum Hakilanyim knew. Well, of course, they don't have to hold themselves back because they know Shammai will always keep them informed, and vice versa. But if you're telling me that if you were going to think that they didn't inform each other, that they would just say, ah, you know what, I hold this mutter, so I don't care what you hold, then you have a problem. So we can understand Bishama is not going to have a problem borrowing Caleb and then using them for Taurus from Bishilo. The Tmeis to Bishilo, the Bishama Taurus Ninu. Things that Bishilo holds are Tomei, according to Bishama, are Tahar. Now, usually it's the other way around. Usually Basilil is the one who's Makel. Right. So, in fact, Tosfos, based on Rabbi Chananel, flips around the gear set. The Ochanel points out, though, I mean, we do know there's a number of cases where Basilil was Machmer in Thomas Fatara. So, yeah. Sometimes, actually, it can be a problem. Sometimes there can be a real issue. Occasionally you hear of issues of mamzerus, usually not from close relatives. It's rare for people to do that. But sometimes you have the case where a woman didn't get a proper
death.
There's a limit. How far in this mission? We're learning kedushin. We're learning in a year and a half. So shem mishpachah shenitma. There comes a point when if you don't know.
This is the regular
Yeah. We're a little bit behind, but yeah. We're learning kedushin. Mishpacha shenitma nitma. Once a family has gotten mixed in, once you don't know anymore, then okay, you don't. Anyway, so ela b'shilu b'shamay lama in the lenim. But why? How could Basilil not be able to use things from Beis Shammai? Taras to Beis Shammai, the Basilil Tmeis Ninu. Things that Beis Shammai holds are tar, according to certain things, according to Basilil would be Tamei. So it has to be. The only way this whole thing could work, that everybody can use freely from each other, is they would inform them. You should know, Basilil, we ourselves hold that this is tar, but you, according to your shitta, hold that this is Tamei, so don't use it. And therefore, if they don't inform them, then Basilel knows. In that case, since we haven't been informed, we know that this is Tahor according to our opinion as well, and vice versa. Shmamina, so that proves it. Now the Gemara asks, my only dehach mehach, we have two cases that we're trying to figure out, that we're trying to prove this point that Bishamai tells Basilel if there's any problem. We have the case of marriages and we have the case of dishes. We said, Mestaber, it's a svara to say that it's true by marriages that they would inform them because we see the case of the dishes from a sotaris. Why is that stronger? Why is it, once we have that, then that shows it for sure. Maybe the other, why is that a stronger case than the other one to prove the point? Yeah. No, the Tumavatara. Tumavataris, in other words, yeah. The answer is, how to tame a tzara color is law? Because you could say, maybe in the case of a tzara, fine, but Shammai does not have to explicitly inform Basilel, because when there's a tzara, people know about it. It's not a usual case. People talk about it. So fine, maybe in that case, Basilel could assume that, because Basilel could know when they're making a shidduch with Shammai, as long as they haven't heard of kol, everything's fine. They don't have to have Shammai tell them explicitly whether everything's kosher.
First, right?
That's a different matter. Yeah. Mashenkin with dishes and the tumas vataris, there's no such call. If it's Shammai holds something as Tahar and Basilel holds it's Tame, the people aren't going to be talking about that it's Tame. Kamash Malan, that's why the Chiddush is, that's not Chiddush. That's why, once we have that case where we see that Basilel and Shammai are able to use Taharas of each other, that automatically means they have to inform each other, because they couldn't depend on a call. Once that, it's logical to say that even in the case of a tzara, where there is a kol, they wouldn't just rely on the kol, they would actually explicitly inform each other. There's a problem over here.
Yeah. Good.
Getting back to what we said before, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Af Mishnechlik of Bishama Basil of Tzaris, we said Bishama Basil argue on the issue of Tzaris, Moedim, they all agree, Shein Mamzer Elam Mishi Surah Yisra Erva Va'onish Karis. They all agree that a Mamzer is only somebody who is born from an Yisra Erva with his Karis. Question is, man moedim. When we're saying that they're moedim, who's moedim to whom? Ilem v'shamay v'basilol? Are you telling me v'shamay is moedim to basilol? Pshita, b'nei chayovin lavin k'sherninu. Of course, according to v'shamay, this woman has a zika. When she goes and marries somebody else, she's over on an isulav, she's over on l'siya, ish ha'meis ha'chutza. So of course the kids are kosher. A kid, someone born from a chayve lavin, is not an issue. Ela v'silol v'shamay. So you're telling me that it means that Basilel agrees to Bishamai? What do you mean? He gupa chayve krisasi. What do you mean? What do you mean? We're talking about whether they agree that the child is a mamzer. They themselves are the one who's saying that it's kares. What are they agreeing on exactly? The answer is la'olam Bishamai la'Basilel. What we really mean is Bishamai are the ones who are murdered to Basilel. U'la'puki midrav akiva. What the Braisa is telling us is that Bishamai does not hold like Rabbi Akiva, which we had a couple of times already, and we'll have more again in the Masechta. Rabbi Akiva holds that even a Chayve Lavin can produce a Mamzer. Kamash Malon, De'ein Mamzer Chayve Lavin. That's the Chiddush. Bishamai agrees with Basilel. Yes, you guys say she's Chayve Karet. We hold it's only a Chiyuv Lav. And because of that, we hold that she's not a Mamzer. We agree with you that a Mamzer is not Chayve Lavin. Which comes out there for a practical difference. We hold the kid is not a mamzer, you hold he is.
Yep.
Yeah?
That's totally the same.
No, but that's what we mean, moedim. It means that Beit Shammai agrees with Basilel against Rabbi Akiva, that's only mechayve krisis. That a mamzer is only mechayve krisis. Yeah, the definition of a mamzer.
Beit Shammai agrees with Basilel.
Right. Yeah, where in this case, they're arguing whether it's Chayv HaKrisis or not, so therefore that makes a practical difference. But yeah. Tashma, come, let's try to bring another proof about this business, about whether Bishamai did according to their own opinion or not. Alpha Pisha Nechlik Bishamai Basil Batsoros. Now, Bishamai Basil argue about this case of Tsoros from our Mishnayos. Uva Achoyos, they also argue about a case of sisters later on in the Masechta, the case of their brother, two brothers who are married to two sisters, where you have an issue where each one of them is where the two brothers die, each of the other brothers has a woman who is his yivama, and her sister has a yivama who is his skuka, and her sister. And you're not allowed to marry a chos skuka, so each of the sisters is equally much a skuka. So you have an issue. So there we have a machlokes over there. Skuka means that she has a zika. She has a requirement to do chalitza or yivam. So we, and Bishamai Basilel argue over there about whether they can do chalitza or yivam.
No,
no children, if you had no children.
No, they're always chalitza and yibum means there's no children, yeah. Also, they argue in another matter of marriage, beget yoshan. A get yoshan is a person gave his wife a get, then afterwards they were together in yichud. The problem is that the v'lona imam b'chundiki is the expression in Gittin. They slept overnight in the same hotel. The problem is we have to be concerned. Maybe they had relations again after the get, and they had it l'shem kiddushin, not just as znuf. Kiddushin with bia is one form of kiddushin, but ketzif v'shtar with bia. In that case, the get is possible. So it's machlokas b'shama b'shul about that, whether we're concerned about that.
I'll bring the whole thing.
The halacha in most cases, like Bishilol, if I remember correctly, are the ones who say that a get yashin is possible. But that I don't remember.
They married.
Yeah, no. Yeah, in other words, yeah, they have. We have to be besophic. They're married. They need to.
You gotta get married to somebody else after that.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get to it and get it eventually.
You need to get that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, besophic ashes ish. There's another argument they have on suffic ashes ish, which Rashi says there's two possibilities. One is that suffic ashes ish over here means an issue of miyun. Bishama Bishilol argue on the whole concept of miyun, which we've discussed a couple of times already, about that a young girl below bas mitzvah who was married off by somebody other than her father, or her father, or she was previously married, whatever, that she can do miyun. She can say, I don't want to be married anymore, and that's it. Bishama Bishilol argue on the mechanism of it, whether it works only for marriage or also for yibum, or whether it works min erusin or min anisuin, etc. So they all agree, that's one possibility, Rashi says, what suffocatious ish means. The other possibility, which Rashi says he prefers, is the same thing about get yoshan, basically. The same issue with the get that was given and then they were together. We call it suffocatious ish, because right now we don't know Rashi says that the suffocatious ish is a case, for example, suppose you have a person is on his deathbed, he writes a get to his wife, and he says, you're divorced as of, if I should die of this illness, you're divorced as of today. Because any get lacham is, so the get can't take effect after he's dead. So he's saying, I'm writing the get today. I'm writing the get today, and if I should die any time of this illness, then it takes effect as of today, retroactively. What is she doing that? What's her status during that time, from that day until he actually dies? That's called suffocatious ish. Rashi says there's not actually a machlokas b'shama b'shul about that, but it's actually a machlokas of later tanoim. But given that they argue about this get yashin, then presumably they argue about this also, because it's basically the same svara. Yeah. Also, another thing they argue about cases of marriage over garish shishi v'lonim b'pundak. This is a case of the man who divorces his wife and then they stay overnight in a hotel. Then they argue also the kesef of a shava kesef. When we say that you're allowed to do kiddushin with money or with value of goods, with goods that have the value of money. How much does it need? B'pruta or b'shava pruta. So Bishilol says it can be as little as a pruta or the value of a pruta. B'shamai says it has to be a dinner. So you could have a case over there. Imagine somebody does a kiddushin with only a pruta. According to Bishilol, she's makodesh to him. According to B'shamai, she's not makodesh. If later on another guy comes in as makadesher, according to Bishilol, nothing happens. According to B'shamai, she's makodesh to the second guy. So you have all these cases of machlokas in marriage. Nevertheless,
I want to say
we usually say ein adam oisa bi lasa bi lasa nus. We usually say there's a rule in halacha ein adam oisa bi lasa bi lasa nus. In general, if a person has the opportunity to have relations in a kosher way, he's not going to do it in a possible way. He's not going to do it as a matter of znus when he's able to do it as a valid marital thing. So in that case, if the get yashan, if they actually had relations, we would have to assume that it's l'shem kiddushin rather than l'shem znus.
Why can't turn around later on if she wants, when she marries the person. Now, I mentioned the person, you know, you really have to get another get. I knew of a situation like that. You really have to get yourself another get. Just know it was always those. That's according to your opinion. How about the other guy?
I don't know that we would accept her statement that it, or even his statement.
She gave a cover,
exactly. Yeah, and also Adon to make some Rasha, right. There's a lot to talk about that. Yeah. Anyway. Nevertheless, Bishamai did not hold themselves back from marrying women from Bishilol. We see from this that they had friendship and love to each other. This fulfills what it says in the pasuk. Truth and peace love each other. In other words, they're looking out for the truth of Torah, but they also made sure to stay b'shalom with each other. I saw a vote on it actually that emes refers more to b'shamai. They were more strict. And we know the famous story with Shammai with the various potential gerim, where he says to them, you can't learn the whole Torah on one foot. Get out of here. You don't accept Torah Shabbat Peh. Get out of here. He's looking out for the emes primarily, whereas Hillel is looking out more for the shalom. So the emes and the shalom love each other, the b'shamai and the Hillel. Rav Shimon nimnu hein min avada. Rav Shimon continues in the Braisa and says no, they would hold themselves back from vadai v'lo nimnu min asafik. They would not hold themselves back when there's only a suffix of a problem. We'll get back to that in a couple of minutes, what that means. But the question is like this: iamet v'shleima asu. If you say according to Rav Shimon, if you say that v'shamai actually acted according to their opinion in all of these cases, then fine, we understand why nimnu, why Rav Shimon is saying that when Basilo knows that there's a vadai problem over here. For example, there's this case of this woman of the Get Yashin, for example. We know for a fact that lona imav pundiki, then they would say that a vadai would be for example the case of the Tzara. The case of Tzara, or the case of Kiddushin with less than a shava dinner or whatever. So then, fine, we understand why Basil is saying that we have to hold back from marrying you because you actually went according to your shitta, which we disagree with. We say she's an Eishes Ish. We say she's an Erva. You say she's not an Eishes Ish. She's not an Erva. Whatever. Eli Amit Loy also, but if you say, like we started saying at the beginning of the discussion, that in practice Bishamai did not do according to their opinion, Amai Nim Nu, then why does Basil have to hold themselves back even in the case of Avadai? How could you think to ask that way? Nihi Nami de Osu, even if Bishamai did according to their opinion, Bishlema Bishilo Nimnu Bishamai. We can understand, again, let's go back to the case of the Tzores, why Bishilo will not marry a woman from Bishamai in a case of Avadai. The Chai Bechrisis Nimnu Mamzeremem Bishilo. Because in the case of Chiyuv Karis, according to Bishilo, she's an Erva. She's Tzoras Erva, rather. She's Osir as a Chiyuv Karis, the children of Mamzeremem. So we understand, Bishilo would have reason not to marry Bishamai. Ella Bishamai my Nimnu Bishilo. What would Bishamai have a problem so much marrying Bishilo? Like we said before, Bnei Chayvei Lav and Ninu Ksheru Ninu. It's only a Chiyuv Lav, it's only an Issu Lav that we kosher. The answer is Kedah Amar Reb Nachman Yitzchok LeNitzucha El Tzora Atzma. Okay, but it's like Reb Nachman Yitzchok says in a different context that we're talking about the Tzora herself. We're not talking about the Tzora's descendants. We're talking about the Tzara herself, whether she's mutter to marry. Then here also we're talking about the Tzara herself. We're not talking about the Bishamai may not have a problem with the descendants, because the descendants are kosher. They will have a problem with the woman herself, but we still don't want to be on an Isulav. Therefore, Shimon is saying, in a case of Vadai, when you know for sure that she's a Tzara's Erva, and Basil is saying there's no Zika, but Bishamai holds there is, and she needs Yibum, Bishamai won't marry her because they don't want to be Oyvanilav. Mashenkin, they won't have a problem with the children. Okay, the question is, my shnomen avadai di isurahu? Fine, then in that case, then what's the difference between avadai, which is an isur, suffix nami isurahu? Well, then a case of a suffix is also an isur. It may be a suffix, but you still have a question whether she's an ashes ish or not, or whether she's a tzara or whatever, or whatever, all these possible gifts. The answer is, well, temim in a suffix, elaim in a stam. Right, you have to correct the words. Not that Shimon is saying they wouldn't hold themselves back from suffix. They wouldn't hold themselves back from a stam. Stam meaning where they weren't informed. Where Bishamai or Basilo, the case may be, did not inform the other party that there's anything wrong, they would not hold themselves back because they'd know. Like we said before, they would inform them. If stam, if they didn't inform them, obviously there's no problem because we know how Emes Rashalom Ahavu, they're telling each other.
That was the question. They considered that without information it was kosher.
Yes, the modular who will parish, because they knew if there's a problem, they will tell them and they will hold back. So no news is good news, basically, so therefore they could get. Well, my kamashkalon, what's the chiddush? So the Gemara asks, well, my kamashkalon, so then what's the chiddush by telling us that to Ava Vareyus Negim Zevazeh, that they treated each other with friendship, that they would always inform each other if there's a problem, even though it's not a problem according to my shitta, but since it's a problem according to yours, I'm telling you. Well, then what? Hainu Reisha, that's exactly what the Reisha said. What is Reb Shimon adding? Melech said Vaday versus Suffolk, Reb Shimon is adding something new. But if he's saying Menastam, he's just repeating what the Tanakhama said. The answer is Hakamashkalon to Kulur Reb Shimon. Okay, right, but what the Braisa is telling us, the whole Braisa is actually according to Reb Shimon. When we say Reb Shimon Omer, it doesn't mean Reb Shimon argues with the Tanakhama. It means he is explaining he's explaining, what do I mean, ha'emes v'ashalom ha'avu, that therefore they did not have a problem with stam. If there was no information given, it means there's no information to be given, and we're good.
Thought that it was adding something to the Mishnah, now we're saying that there was
Yeah. 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 Okay. Fair.
It would be nice if our people ate.